It's a warning.
Okay, all right.
It's called rocking out.
Yeah, he just called my cell, so... Delegate Hugo?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
All right. So, technology having worked, we will now call this Thursday, December 13th, 2018 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Ms. Thomas-Jones, do you call the roll?
Sure thing. Chairman Noe?
Here.
Chair Randall?
Here.
Chair Bulova?
Here.
Chair Crystal?
Here.
Mayor Silberberg?
Here.
Mayor Parrish?
Here.
Mayor Meyer?
Here.
Councilmember Snyder?
Here.
Mayor Rochelle?
Here.
Senator Black?
Here.
Delegate Hugo?
Here.
Mr. Minshew?
Here.
Ms. Hines? Mr. Cole?
Here.
Mayor Burke? Ms. Cuervo?
Here.
And Mr. Horsley?
Here.
Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next, we have the minutes of the November 8th meeting. They were sent out in advance. Any questions, comments, changes?
They are corrected.
Yes. So you're asking, so you're making a motion to approve the corrected minutes? Correct. Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This is always like my least favorite meeting of the year because inevitably, just because of the nature of the calendars we have, every year, we have a member of the authority retiring. We have two, although one is only here with us. Only one is here with us tonight, and I want to. In fact, we have a gift here.
Kelly Burke.
So, hi, Kelly. Well, I'll say this. So, Mayor Burke in the town of Leesburg is not retiring from being mayor.
She's just right.
But she is retiring from her term on the NVTA. She's not here tonight. But we do have a gift and a thank you for Mayor Silverberg from the city of Alexandria. Come on up. So you actually have a nicer picture than we've given in the past. You can all do a nicer sort of format.
Oh, look at that.
So,
thank you.
Also, thank you for all your service to the city of Alexandria and to our region.
Sure.
And you've been a true asset to this organization.
And
we're
going to miss you. Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you when I get to the meeting. I just want to say thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege, really, to serve with all of you. This is a brilliant group, and you're a wonderful chairman. You really are. And the staff, Monica, and everyone, all of you on staff. Are phenomenal, and I called you with questions, and we just had a lot going on with our Potomac Yard Metro. We're all very excited about it, and you all have made a tremendous difference with regard to that and so many other things that we've done regionally. And this has been this particular time period has been extremely productive for MBTA,
yeah.
And we just have to get that money rearranged in Richmond.
So can I tell a story about you for you?
Okay.
You don't even remember, so this is an absolutely true story. Alice and I had never met at all. I mean, not at a chamber thing or anything until the very first night she came to an authority meeting. And the meeting started at 7, but we were supposed to meet with each other at Monica. She and Monica and I were supposed to meet at 6:15 or something. And she was running late. And at 6:25 or so, 6:30, she comes in. And Monica and I gotta kind of get the meeting going. And I realized, oh, she's here, okay, we'll spend a little time talking. And I don't even know if we had said hello yet. We had definitely not introduced, but we knew we knew each other were, but we had not even really said, nice to meet you, et cetera, and she said, she looked at me and Monica says, you're the people I need to talk to get funding for Potomac Yard Metro, right? I mean, that's literally the point we
I just really cut to the chase.
But here we are 3 years later, and how much money do we have on Potomac Yard Metro?
I'm a very straightforward person, so really, I love that.
Yeah.
I've forgotten that completely. But really, well, thank you for the 70 million. to serve with all of you and Sharon Volva. Oh my gosh, what a difference you've made for the whole region. And I really just salute you completely. Thank you. Marty, phenomenal chairman. I love it. You got the hat. You got the coffee from Starbucks.
Wow. I'm like fancy Alexandria. Thanks for giving me a ride at Cheesecake Factory.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll find an opportunity to thank and honor Mayor Burke for her service at a future meeting or sometime perhaps when we're out in Leesburg. So we have a presentation tonight, which is an economic analysis of MBTA-funded transportation investments. Mr. Long?
Thank you, Chairman Noe. I'm going to move through this fairly quickly for you. After all, it is economics, and it is an evening meeting. But I think there's a lot of really good material in this most recent economic study that the authority had commissioned. First of all, the study purpose. The study purpose was to determine the economic impact of MBTA capital investments, building upon the study we did for 2016. And that was recapped in the annual report for 2016. Likewise, the results that we'll be talking about tonight will be wrapped into the 2018 annual report, which will be available to you in January. It includes the same benchmarks as 2016 with some expanded detail on regional and statewide impacts. 2016, we just looked at what happened in Northern Virginia with the project money. This time we're looking a little bit deeper into the impacts as well as what happens Commonwealth-wide. The purpose of the study, we used an outside expert, Chamora Economics and Analytics, so that we could have a well-recognized, transparent, repeatable modeling techniques and assessment put in place so that we can build upon this in the future, and we have a couple slides to go over on that. Again, as far as the study structure, Chamora Economics, after a competitive proposal process, was engaged to undertake the study using something called M-Plan Pro. I wouldn't expect you to recognize M-Plan Pro, but I will note that the Virginia Chamber Foundation used Chamora and the same modeling and assessment techniques for the study that they just recently released on the Amazon impacts for Virginia. It is one of the most widely used economic impact and assessment modeling systems in the nation. The study focused on the impact of the authority's project funding programs, the 70% funds, and new this time around, the 30% funds as well. So we're looking at the regional and the statewide impact on both of those funding sources. There was no specific budget allocation for the study, so we were somewhat limited in the number of topics we could branch into and the data elements that we could give Chamora to put into the study. To kind of round out the study perspective, you'll see that we focused on $3 billion, and that's 30 and 70% funds from FY14 through FY2024. We had to include 2024 because there's aspects of the model that incorporate the spending features. And so it is part funds that are actual funds that are wrapped up in our financial statements. It's also part funds that are estimated in forward-looking estimates. The study focused on three impact areas: direct, indirect, and induced. The direct impact is the economic activity generated by the specific project. So that's the materials that went into the project. That's the skilled and unskilled labor that worked on the project. It could be designers, it could be laborers, it could be obviously construction folks. It's also the equipment. The equipment can be buses, the equipment can be an elevator motor. Those are things that are going to stay on the project in use for transportation. The indirect impacts are the secondary economic activity. And I'd like to use the analogy. It took so many examples to get an example from The Economist as to what this would be, to do something concrete. The demand for construction at this level increases the demand for rental equipment. Cranes. You know, you oftentimes don't, you know, keep a crane in your backyard, you rent one. So the crane, once it's used for the project, still stays as an asset in the region and in the state. Design software. The services that the subcontractors to the prime contractors need get caught up in this category. The induced impact is a little bit easier to remember if you just think of one thing. It is the payroll from the jobs generated by the projects. I'm sorry. I kind of lost my own place. So we have an economic, we're measuring $3 billion of project funding. And we break that into that direct, indirect, and induced amounts with a total. And we have it broken out by NOVA, which is obviously our region, and Virginia. Everything in the Virginia numbers is in the NOVA numbers. So the cumulative as it comes down. The difference is what the state gets effectively different from what the region gets. So we start with $3 billion and we end up looking at direct impacts of $2.5 billion. So what happened to half a billion dollars? The Virginia doesn't have steel mills. We have steel fabrication plants. We have a lot of other things, but to the best of my knowledge and to where I was able to check, we don't have actual mills. So we import steel into the state. Likewise, we don't have bus assembly lines. So those are things that are being done elsewhere. If we look at the direct impact, we can see that most of that $3 billion that was raised in Virginia, this is Virginia tax, raised in Northern Virginia, these are regional tax dollars, is actually being used in Virginia. The amount goes up with the indirect and the induced impacts, and we total to a point of, from direct to total, we go from $2.5 billion to almost $4 billion in Northern Virginia alone. So that's additional dollars that are being generated within Northern Virginia by these projects. The state likewise sees a benefit of $410 million statewide. So dollars that go outside the state to steel producing states, et cetera, obviously are not included in here. I think the employment numbers are actually the most important and most exciting numbers to take a look at. The projects start with generating 13,600 jobs. And on a statewide basis, they go up just a little bit more, 104 jobs on a statewide basis. And that's the direct impact of the projects. That amount, when you look at the indirect and induced amounts, jumps on the region to 23,400 jobs, statewide to 26,000 jobs. That's money being raised solely in Northern Virginia and creating jobs, 90% of which are staying in Northern Virginia. There are people from out of state that are working on these projects, obviously, and they're working off-site on things that support the project, but they're not included in these numbers. So I think that's pretty significant the premise for the funding for HB 2313 was regional funding, and this really shows that the regional funding that's raised in Northern Virginia grows in Northern Virginia, still benefits the state, because everything that happens here benefits the state, and those jobs stay in Northern Virginia. It's also important to note that these numbers are only related to project costs. So we did not look at the use of the projects. Again, we didn't. You know, we did this without a budget. So you know, we didn't have the ability to expand the data points and stuff like that to include other areas. So this is just the money that goes into the projects. It's not the actual use and beneficial use of the projects. We did look at some other areas that weren't studied by Chamora, but we thought this was a good time to match these up. Through the 70% program, there's $1.9 billion in 95 regional projects coming into the authority. You often hear of us talk about SBAs, special project agreements. Those are basically contracts. We have more SPAs than we have actual projects. And Monica and Keith Jasper really want us to start looking at the fact that one project may have several SPAs to kind of keep that perspective in mind. That $1.9 billion, we're kind of in a chicken and an egg situation. Whether it's the first dollar or the last dollar, the MBTA dollars are very seldom the only dollars. So it may be the MBTA funding that triggered additional funding for the project, or MBTA may be the last one that comes in with the funding that allows the project to start. But either way, that $1.9 billion triggers another $3.8 billion in project funding. That could be federal money, it could be state money, it could be your local money, it could be proffers, it could be a number of things. But that's an additional $3.8 billion in additional funding. That brings the total project value up to $5.7 billion. And those numbers are not part of the Chemura analysis. We'd like to add those in the future. Additionally, transaction, with the data that was gathered in the transaction, we were able to look at another really, I think, important data point, and that is the savings of a little over $3 billion in congestion relief and travel time delay savings. We take those hours, we apply a $15 an hour rate to them, and we come up with $3.1 billion in time savings. So looking ahead, looking at some enhancements, we'd like to take a deeper look at the economic impact of the funding matches, that $3.8 billion. We'd like to take a deeper dive into the time value benefits, that $3.1 billion that we just talked about. And certainly, we need to keep in mind, even in an economic study, the quality of life factors, congestion reduction, safety, environmental, the savings on air and water pollution, vehicle operating costs, which is very important to many families. We could do an expanded employment opportunity analysis and look at other opportunity impacts, such as business startups, business relocations, expand the look at the local tax analysis, which to include real estate, personal property, and sales tax. And basically, we're open to additional ideas. So I think flipping back to the table chart gives a number of benefits of what these projects are doing in the region. And again, the important thing to note is this is Northern Virginia money raised in Northern Virginia, being put to use in Northern Virginia, and by and large, the benefit compounding within Northern Virginia in both terms of dollars and jobs. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. This is very interesting. On the slide titled Other Impacts for the Nova Region, you assume $50 hour throughout the Nova region, which gave us that savings of $3.1 billion through 2030. Why the $15 an hour? Do you think that number is overly conservative, which is a good thing, at $15 an hour, knowing that this region has a fairly high salary range? So why is $15 an hour?
There's a lot of debate going into what dollar amount to use for a calculation such as that. We looked at Bureau of Labor Statistics that went as high as $23, even a little higher. We saw some studies that used $3. We settled on 15 because that was closest to what COG is using.
Okay. But if anything, if that number would be conservative, it wouldn't be an overestimate. It would be a conservative estimate.
I would imagine, given the labor pool in Northern Virginia, that's a conservative number.
Since these numbers appear to be so good and they're bringing in outside revenue, will this be included in the talking points that go to Richmond to try to restore our
Tracy Baynard has already started pouring advice to us on how to make that one sheet package that was talked about with the legislative program.
Thank you.
Yes. sound like a negative comment, but don't these jobs go away after the project's done?
Well, this is over a 10-year period, so they do have some staying power over the 10-year period, but the authority also will still be funding programs and hopefully putting an increasing amount of money into the economy.
So,
but these are jobs for over a 10-year period.
So it seems to me what you're measuring is short-term immediate impact versus the longer-term, what I call more systemic impacts, which you really get to in your last slide. And you're right to start with a hyper-conservative. All right, these are people being employed by the money that's being churned out in projects. I think the true economic and financial benefit to the region is much larger than that. And you get at some of those benefits on the last slide. I think NBTC tried to grab the longer term benefits, if you will, the more systemic benefits. And that may, their methodology may be worthwhile here as you look at how to move beyond, again, what I would call the immediate financial and economic benefits to the larger benefits to the region, which include not only expanding the economy, but actually supporting the existing robust economy, and then which would, one would argue, would deteriorate over time without this investment, so that you then are maintaining a robust economy and you're building a significant positive financial contribution to that already strong economy.
I completely agree with you, and using an outside expert with a nationally recognized modeling plan, I think, builds that so that the results that come from Northern Virginia can then be compared to other regions, because it's, you know, it's standard modeling techniques. Really, the limitation that we had with this study was the fact that we didn't have a budget appropriation for it. We did it to support, you know, the 6-year strategic plan calls for this type of stuff. And we were really limited to basically the resources that we had available versus many of the things that we would like to do. We do have a January conference call scheduled with Chamora. They've already indicated, and as you can see by the reports that the Virginia Chamber Foundation commissioned on the Amazon impact, a lot of those, that the same modeling product was used for that study that was used for ours, but clearly they were able to include a lot more of the elements that you're talking about.
So the baseline is there for us. It's just having the resources to dig deeper, as you pointed out, Councilmember Snyder.
But a very big limitation of this study is that it is just on the spending of the project funds, because we just couldn't get past that as far as...
You're not really measuring the spin-off benefits, which are really quite significant. And you list some of those that are both quantitative and qualitative.
Yeah.
Benefits, if you can get at a good model.
Right. And once the projects start to come to fruition, and then we can really dive deeper, you know, once we see these projects are coming to fruition, because as I'm told in the model, that sets additional thresholds, and it will give us percentages on some of these bullets that we note on slide 7, or data points, I should say.
We had talked to the economists about the wealth of data that's in the transaction plan and everything that goes into the transaction as far as compiling the projects and all the data that's captured, and then what goes into the recommendations that come forward to the authority for project selections and adoptions. And they were very excited to be able to get a hold of that. But they do want to be paid for it.
Anything else? Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have four before us 1, 2, 3, 4 consent agenda items. All of these are agenda project agreements, right?
That is correct.
Do we have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second. Motion from Mr. Parrish, second from Ms. Bulova. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have the adoption of the 2019 legislative program. Ms. Lambert.
Okay. So, that's in your package, legislative programs in your package, and what I will discuss is the things that we talked about, I'll really discuss that. I asked a question, do you believe we should have more specific language as it relates to restoring the long-term funding for MBTA? That question was kind of bandied around because this is very high language. It just basically says we want it restored, but it doesn't say from which entity will be restored. So I can let the mayor decide why. Well, what we decided finally was that we would, when legislation is presented, Ms. Boehner would have more specific language and some things to take to them to show what's happened as far as losing the MBTA money. But she thought it should remain fairly unspecific language just so that it didn't restrain anybody as they try to get the money restored. Is that the fair assessment?
That is fair. And we also, the GPC committee also talked about having staff prepare a set of principles that would guide your future analysis and review of any proposals that came forward.
And to that end, all of you may have this piece of paper in your package. I actually asked that. So this is an interesting chart because it actually shows the loss of grantor tax and sales tax as a result of legislation. The top lines are the estimates that were, and the bottom two parts are the allocations that are now the real money. And so what I asked them to do is to total all this up. And so put one more chart on there to total up the loss that we will sustain because we lost the MBTA grantor tax and COT tax. So having that raw number, I think, when we hit the General Assembly will be helpful. And then other things at that time. So she'll keep us abreast of that. The other thing we did was add language that speaks to the importance of technology as it relates to transportation. And that was a suggestion by Mr. Snyder, and Ms. Bailey's going to work on wordsmithing that. We removed subsection 2 from section C that actually starts off with the language, it's on page 4, starts off the system staff. We struck all that language from there in its totality. And then we had a discussion about PREA funding. And did we think it was time to push for more PREA funding, not just the $150 million that would be renewed? I think it's time to push for more PREA funding, but I have felt like that for quite a while now. Because the idea that the federal government pays less than Fairfax County is kind of ridiculous to me. And I felt like that with the substantive change in Northern Virginia as far as elected officials moving around, this may be the time to make that move. However, I was told that Senator Warner said just this morning that if we get the 150, we'll be doing good. So don't press our luck right now. So I'm going to take Tracy's lead on that, but with some hesitation because I believe if we never push, we'll never get. And the idea that the federal government is only putting in $150 million when what is being moved is the federal government's workforce is just a bit ridiculous to me. What are you all putting this year? $164 million, something like that? Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, really, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. But, you know, I was also the Not One Penny Coalition, Hal and I were. So, okay. So we had that discussion, and when we get to the point where we start talking about an infrastructure bill, up on Capitol Hill and with the president, maybe then would be the time to actually have a further discussion about increasing the FRIA funds as part of an infrastructure bill. But it did not seem to be an appetite right now to talk about the FRIA bill, the FRIA funding as a standalone funding. Did I reflect that correctly? Mr. Snyder, everybody's in, yeah, okay. So that was that. That's where that was. Would you like a motion?
I would.
All right. I move that the GPC, oh, no, I don't have that motion. Okay. I move the authority to approve the draft 2019 program, inclusive of any amendments made to the December 13th, 2018 authority meeting.
Second. Any discussion or questions on this?
I have a question. I think you mentioned something in the way of guidelines that we may take up or have available to us during the legislative session.
Yes, sir.
That would guide us. I'm talking about the case of the
right.
Storing the fund.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
No, they're not available yet. It's something we discussed in the committee.
I'm curious. Let me just ask a very simple question.
Sure.
To me, it seems like, would we support the restoration of those funds if they increase taxes on road retainers?
I think that's for you all to have a discussion about, because I don't, I mean, we had a position.
Yeah, that's part of it. Which is why we didn't go into more detail, because I actually talked about, you know, the governor's budget, and would it be something within the governor's budget, and which wouldn't. But that's a different issue.
That would be
fine with me. Right, but that's a...
But somebody might get the bright idea that we're looking to tax ourselves even more. Are we? I guess that's a real question that I'm asking.
Except right now, they're not going to allow us to tax ourselves at all, so we just learned.
I understand, but they might.
Well, but they didn't.
Mr. Chairman, we're asking for them to restore it.
Yeah.
So are they going to get the bright idea that we're asking to as opposed to replacing it with state funding of some sort?
Oh. Uh-huh.
I'm concerned that if we tell the legislature that we want money back, they may get the bright idea. They may get the bright idea that we're looking to increase the revenue that comes from Northern Virginians to replace the revenue that they took to get them a lot.
Which would just basically go further than hope.
So I'm really asking that question. Is that a potential that could occur? And is that the kind of thing that would be a negative in the guidelines that would be proposed in some way?
I'm going to prepare a set of guidelines that cover a variety of scenarios, and I would look to the authority to guide where you want to land.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah. I'm not going to presume that you all are going to pick one way or the other.
I know how I would.
Right. But I think I don't know that I have enough guidance from you all as an organization to say that you prefer one way or the other.
Well, I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
When we finally come up with the figure for the amount that was lost, that was taken away from us, then I'm putting in a budget amendment for that amount. Now, that doesn't mean that we actually get it, but that begins the process. And the way that I view this is that when we pass the Bob McDonald tax increase for transportation, we did two levels. We did statewide tax, and then we did two regional taxes, one for here and one for Saginaw. When it came time to fund Metro on kind of an emergency basis, we robbed Northern Virginia of the extra tax we had placed on ourselves in recognition of the fact that we have extraordinary needs in transportation. And I would find it incredibly outrageous if anyone were to suggest that we replace that money by imposing a third level of taxation on Northern Virginia. And I suspect that I would not be the only legislator from Northern Virginia who would feel that way. Now, I will say we are called a commonwealth because we share and we recognize that there are things that come up in one area, in another area, and they have to be funded. And we do it as a group. We do it as a commonwealth. And I think this is one thing. I think that the emergency for Metro was not just something affecting Northern Virginia. We generate a tremendous amount of money for the rest of the state. We fund the schools downstate because they can't do it. We have to do it. It makes sense. But in order to do it, we've got to have the roads. And so I'll just tell you, I think the reaction I would have to this third level of taxation to pay for being robbed like we were, I think it would be shared by a number of people, Democrat, Republican. I think Northern Virginia would kind of rise up against that.
So actually, when Phyllis Randall totally agrees with Dick Black, then that is the right answer. That's the first thing. That's the right answer. Secondly, we actually have the numbers. The TOT loss was $162,843,631. The grand tourist tax loss was $232,021,944. And the loss of the 60 and 30 combined was $118,459,672.
Over 6 years.
Over mm-hmm. 6 years. Those are the numbers. Those are stark numbers to lose. And Mr. Parrish has a very good point. And it may be apropos to say somewhere in this legislation verbiage that restoration of our funding, we're not looking to tax ourselves in Northern Virginia. Now, however you want to gently word that, we can take a look at that wording and send it around, that's fine. But I do think that that's a good point. And because it would be, we're just digging that hole a little deeper if we do that. So I thank you, Mr. Parrish. And I think that verbiage in this section would be appropriate.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to suggest that we may not need to reinvent the wheel in terms of the framework that we developed or the set of guiding principles mm-hmm. for evaluating a proposal. We did this last mm-hmm. year, right? And actually, last January, we came up with a set of principles.
It's actually in this calendar year.
Is it? I know.
Isn't that weird?
It feels like a lifetime ago. Starting from a place of exactly as it has been expressed very compellingly, that we need the state to pay its share of a system that generates significantly more revenue than is invested in it. Sort of ranking our preferences from there, there was an openness to some new revenue sources in Northern Virginia. So I would just suggest that we not preclude, for example, the compromise that was on the table that this body perhaps grudgingly, ultimately got to support of, and notably that had the support of the leadership of our business community across the region. So I would just say caution us to while we make a full-throated case that we would like to see, or in fact need to see, the state contribute through additional sources, that we not be so pointed in that we preclude a solution that was palatable to us and certainly was better than the outcome we got at the last minute during the 2018 session.
So, trying to dial back
to what happened last year, this year.
Earlier this year.
A decade and a half.
Earlier this year.
When I was in high school.
So there was, in some of the iterations, an increase in it was hotel
and grantors.
Hotel tax and grantors tax. And my recollection, and so we, you know, were supportive of that. The business community was grudgingly supportive of that. If I'm remembering correctly, if more money is needed for Metro, you know, that this appeared to be okay. And it was not just that, it was other things as well that were, you know, that were put on the table. And then instead of using those sources, we were robbed. That's my recollection. And so, you know, the grantor hotel tax, our tax that we already were collecting was used instead of there being an increase, you know, in taxes. So sort of dialing back, I guess what we'd like, you know, is to go back. First of all, in a perfect world, if the state could fund out of state funds, you know, the difference, that would be ideal. But I guess using the principles that we had all agreed to during the beginning of the General Assembly session, we should work with the General Assembly and the governor, you know, to try to make us as whole as possible after what happened last year. But there had been proposed an increase in, you know, in those taxes as well as, you know, other sources of revenue put toward Metro. So kind of dialing back to where we were last, you know, when the General Assembly session started, you know, I guess is where we sort of would need to be, except that.
So I'm not quite understanding.
Yeah.
So are you saying to restore, but yet not give them a loophole that they can use, or is that what you're saying? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying that exactly.
So what I'm saying, and I can't speak to Ms. Bilba, what I'm saying is, because we do want to have the statement to be a fairly high level statement. I don't think we need to be specific. What I'm saying, and Mr. Gross, tell me if I'm speaking for you also, is that at the very least we may want to put some verbiage in that says we do not want this funding as we find out if as they figure out how to restore some of our funding, it should not be that we are further taxing ourselves. It should be from the state, in other words. So I don't think we need to be more specific than that, because I think, you know, if you become more specific than that, then you're really, you know, hamstringing what may or may not be able to be done. But at least some general guideline that we're not looking to have further taxes. And I agree with what you're saying, Ms. Bulova. But at this point where we are, just for the purpose of this statement, because we're not being that granular in this statement, just that we're not looking for that restoration to come from further taxing of Northern Virginia.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I would agree with that, but I can understand that Fairfax and Arlington may want to tax yourselves, and perhaps that's another issue for another lobbying effort, and we should maybe separate that
so
out from.
I think, if I may, Mr. Chair,
Delegate Hugo wants to be recognized.
My only concern is just the certainly supportive in principle of everything that's expressed about not taxing ourselves. But I want to be clear, for me at least. If there were an option on the table to bring forward the revenue sources that right up until the last minute were the ones that this body had agreed to support, which did come in part from Northern Virginia, to me, that would be to replace our, for example, completely lost 30% funds in Arlington would be an acceptable compromise. And again, I think that's a compromise that this body found acceptable back in around February or early March of last year. So, you know, whether we were to say that the authority looks first to statewide sources, for example, but I'm very much not interested in a brand new tax fully being imposed the way Chair Randall or Senator Blackman has characterized it, but I just want to be clear that, you know, we did have a solution on the table that this body supported that might be seen as being ruled out by a statement like the one that Chair Randall has proposed we just add.
Delegate Hugo.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I apologize I couldn't be there tonight. I had surgery a couple of days ago. I just want to say I appreciate this discussion, and, you know, a couple things here. I noted that it looks like if we hadn't done the Metro bill last year, I think Amazon, most people believe that might have been the thing that helped bring Amazon to Northern Virginia, so I'm glad we got that done last year. But I heard a couple of people, and I'm pleased to hear that some people say we shouldn't be imposing other taxes on Northern Virginia residents. That's one of the concerns I had last year. And I think that's also one of the reasons that the Northern Virginia Tech Council, nor the Northern Virginia Chamber, former Fairfax Chamber, took a position on the amendments that the governor had to propose, you know, impose taxes, additional taxes on hotels and on real estate exchanges. And I think we look at this, I hope we look at this, and all of us remember it. I think, Monica, you might correct me on the number if I'm inaccurate. Over the last couple years, NVTA, the Transportation Authority, provided over $184 million to Metro. I think it's about $184 million, if I'm wrong, correct me, to fund Metro projects. So I think NVTA has done its part to help Metro over the years. The money that we continue to have in NVTA will fund many. I mean, I think you funded over a billion dollars in transportation projects. But like I said, I appreciate everybody's comments again on, or some of the comments on, you know, that we should not impose other taxes on Nova residents. That was some of the concerns we had at the April veto session. And I think that's, and I heard the Senator Black comment on that too. So again, I apologize I couldn't be there tonight. But I'm glad that we were able to work out something that was able to bring Amazon to Northern Virginia, to the jobs and the economic development, the educational opportunities that will bring. And Mr. Chairman, just because I'm on the Transportation Committee, I may abstain on the votes, but I look forward to working with you and all the members of the NVTA to try to work together to make sure on a bipartisan and House and Senate level, make sure that we get the transportation funding and projects we need to keep our economy going and the quality of life that we have. But thank you all for all your work.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else on this? I think we've had a lot of discussion here that is kind of consistent with everything we talked about back in last winter and early spring. And I don't think any of this is in conflict with what's in this document. I believe it was Delegate May who gave me some advice many years ago that says there's no point in putting in your legislative plan how you want the General Assembly to pay for something because it's definitely not how they'll pay for it. So I think that historically we've sort of put high level concepts out and then responded as legislation has evolved. Because that's just sort of how it works in the Virginia General Assembly. So I don't think anything that anyone has said gets invalidated by the language that we have here now. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Thank you. I agree with what you just said, and the reason for me bringing this up is because I felt like this body needed to have the conversation. And I recognize that when you get down to Richmond, a lot of things change. A lot of things happen. There's action, inaction, and other things. So you need to have an understanding, a guideline, you mentioned it before, of where you're going to go and what you're going to support. And I for one, would hate to see the leadership of this body go to Richmond, representing the NVTA, and acquiescing to additional taxes on Northern Virginians when I can list, and so can you all the new revenue that has been asked of Northern Virginians, both recent history and future, relatively short future, that they will be paying for transportation. And I think, from my own perspective, and I'll just say this, I think I'm going to use a word that I normally would use. What the state did last year in terms of trying to provide money for Metro and its needs, which I support, was paltry.
Is that? Okay. Okay. Chair Randall and Chair Blackstone. You know, there was a bill filed last year, I think it was House Bill 1319, filed by Delegate Sullivan, that proposed additional taxes. And early in the session, I thought that bill had legs, that there was going to be, to quote Mayor Parrish, another tranche of taxation on the Northern Virginians. And that Delegate Sullivan was very honest in saying, yes, I'm asking for additional taxes to go toward UOFM Metro. That bill was incorporated in Delegate Kiko's bill, which had no tax increase, but no, you know, diverse money from BPA. So I share Chair Randall's concern that if we say we want to have the money restored, we don't want that to be read by, you know, 100 senators and 40 senators and 100 delegates as being implicit support for concept by Delegate Sullivan to have this bill last year.
And that's my
concern. The danger.
That's my concern.
So, I'm not proposing any change to the language, Mr. Chairman, but I agree with the basic sense.
I think I can kind of button this up. So, I think that the discussion is that your Ms. Crystal and Ms. Boulevard are correct. As a body, we did support that. Now, some of us remained on the Not More Kenny coalition, but as a body, we did support that, and we are a body. And so that's what comes out of this body comes out of this body. What may be the direction to give Ms. Boehner is that if this is the verbiage that goes forward, and okay, that any hint of, well, maybe the money could be restored by further taxing Northern Virginia should come back to us as soon as possible so we can have a conversation and a statement on that. So if we leave the verbiage this high, okay, mm-hmm. I personally would rather not, but again, I will acquiesce to the body. But if any discussion like that begins to happen, we need to know about it very quickly and need to know what they're talking about, what money, from where, and all those types of things. That's what I would say. But it is true that this body, as a body, did vote to say that, you know, Northern Virginia, we agree with Northern Virginia taxes. And I don't know, I remember as Mr. Parrish and I were in the Not More Kenny coalition. I'm not sure if there's anybody else in that coalition.
It never came to a vote.
Never came to a vote.
We just
grab around behind the scenes.
Therefore, you will not know.
you and I are pretty clear. So maybe no more verbiage, but just to follow it really very closely and come back to us.
Mr. Chair, I agree with Chair Randall. I think you can move forward with this. I'm ready to vote for it. I will vote for it. But I appreciate the conversation.
We've had a discussion about a specific item in here. We're voting on the entire package.
Yeah.
I just think the rest of the package has not been worthy of the vote. So any other comments on this?
And I would also just like to remind everyone that, you know, legislation will be introduced or not. Or, you know, things happen at the General Assembly and, you know, we will be following and tracking that, and we will be meeting, in general, whatever.
Governance and personnel.
Governance and personnel.
The one that I'm not a member of. and even vote without remembering that I'm not a member of. But anyway, but those things will be ironed out as things go along. On another issue, and that is seeking the same flexibility regarding the 70% and the 30% funds.
for MBTA. The deed that we have all been talking about with our losing revenue wound up depleting some of our jurisdiction's revenue entirely. And so, for instance, Alexandria and Arlington were using the 30% to help pay for administration for the MBTA. So I am comfortable with our asking for the same flexibility that Hampton Roads has to be able to use a portion of the 70% fund, because that would help, I think, jurisdictions who, had their funding depleted. Having said that, we also, I think, need to be very careful about opening this up. Mm-hmm. And, that drawing attention to the 70% fund and the 30% fund, I just think we need to be very, very careful and watch this very carefully.
So, Vivian, on that issue, I'll share with you what we're probably looking at. What we're looking for when it comes to paying for operating expenses is just operate under the same rules Hampton Roads does. In fact, specifically, the Hampton Roads Transportation Advisory Council
accountability
has more. Essentially, they've got several different streams they can use to pay for their operations. We right now must pay for it using funds from the localities. I think when this was all done initially back in 2013, we sort of thought we had some flexibility. It turns out we didn't. The issue is not so much using 70% funds, but rather using the interest accrued on 70% funds. We approve projects, but sometimes the money sits in a bank and we get your interest. For me, the issue there is, yes, a little bit about allowing jurisdictions more control over their local funds. The larger issue for me is that it is not unheard of in this region for individual jurisdictions to decide that they don't want to play regionally. And at Northern Virginia Regional Commission, for example, over the years, has had several incidences in which jurisdictions have just said, we're not going to pay our dues anymore. The NVTA, jurisdictions don't have the option of not being a member of the NVTA. Right now, as it stands, the jurisdiction does have the ability to say, we want the full benefit from being a member of the NVTA, but we don't want to pay our operating expenses. So giving us parity with Hampton Roads gives us the ability to make sure the operating expenses get paid, even if a local city council or board of supervisors decides that they don't want to pay their bills anymore. I don't think any jurisdiction we have right now is even considering that, but forever is a long time, and I think that this provides a safety net should we ever find ourselves in that situation. So that's the other piece of that.
Other discussion about where the money comes from. I think it's clear that there's a strong preference that it be statewide money. Can we? I don't think there's any disagreement there. So we ought to leave this meeting with something. I'm not saying it goes in a document, but I think that's. I don't see any disagreement on that.
I don't
know.
Right.
Yes.
But I would be about that going in the document. To say that there's a strong preference that there be statewide money. I would be about that going in the document. Do you have a comment, or can that be a friendly amendment to the language and then Ms. Maynard will work on it and bring it back to us? I guess you have to ask that question.
Who seconded the motion?
Chair Crystal.
Unless I wanted to give it to Mayor Parrish. I would certainly accept a statement that it is the strong preference of the authority that the restoration fund can come from statewide sources as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
Support that very much.
Any objection to that? Okay, we'll close the book on this. All in favor with that friendly amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next item, the appointment of a chairman and vice chairman for 2019. I will look to my nominating committee of Mrs. Bulova and Mr. Parrish on that.
Okay, cheers to make a motion, and I hope that Chair Bulova will second the motion to have Martin Noe continue as our chairman for an additional year, along with Chair Randall as our vice chair. I'll make that motion.
Second that motion.
Mr. Chair, just so you'll know, we had a long discussion and critical thinking.
I'll tell a story so they how they became the nominating committee. Is there any discussion on this matter? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. We now have the next item, appointment of a representative, a town representative to the MBTA, the coalition of mayors of the five large towns. I put forward the name of the relatively new mayor of the town of Dumfries, Derek Wood, to be the town representative for 2019. And I'm going to take Chairman Brogdon and make this motion myself.
Second
for Mr. Black. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Excellent, thank you. That is the end of our action items. Ms. Randall, any other reports from the Governance Personnel Committee?
There are no other votes. There's one other report. We did have a closed session about the executive director's year in report and compensation that will come back to us in January. The recommendation will come back to the board in January. To the authority in January.
Mr. Chairman, I just have one item that's actually not a part of my ED report. I did want to note that VDOT and our own Helen Corvo was named WTS Woman of the Year for the She was nominated and won this award because of her outstanding leadership over
Thank
the past
you.
30 or so years.
Thank you so much. That was sweet.
That's it. Anything else?
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Yes, yeah, so I would say happy Hanukkah, but it is actually over. It's a retroactive happy Hanukkah. So Merry Christmas, Meli Kalikamaka, Feliz Navidad, and Festival Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year. Where's yours? Thank you.
I do. Indeed. Do it.